Welcome to Renew Devotionals. And this time with God and His Word today, we'll be studying the book of Nahum as we continue on in our Through the Bible series cover to cover. Before beginning, take a few moments to center your heart. Ask God to give you faith, wisdom, and humility as you hear and respond to His Word. Our scripture today comes from Nahum chapter 1, verse 3.
The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and the Lord will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. In whirlwind and storm is His way, and clouds are the dust beneath His feet.
One thing I've noticed is that the older I get, the more thankful I am for my parents. Now that I have a child of my own, I realize how taxing parenthood can be, but not once growing up did I sense my parents being too tired to take care of me. Now that I know more, I'm thankful for the energy and devotion they gave me. Growing up, I took having food and clothes, a home and toys as a given. But now that I understand the realities of the real world and how much hard work it takes to take care of a family, I'm more thankful for the ways my parents provided for me. Maybe you can relate to this idea of increased gratitude once you come to gain a deeper understanding of what was sacrificed. Most people don't like to talk about God's justice. We'd rather dwell on His mercy or His love. But like we've been talking about, this is a concept that once we more deeply understand, leaves us immensely more grateful in the end. We're going to explore this topic in the book of Nahum. In this book, the prophet Nahum is commissioned by God to speak to the Israelites after they've been taken into exile. His message is an announcement of judgment upon Israel's captor, the nation of Assyria. Assyria, and specifically its capital Nineveh, is an extremely violent, oppressive group of people. God had previously sent the prophet Jonah to warn them of their coming judgment so that they might repent and experience forgiveness. But Nineveh's repentance was short-lived. God is grieved by their ways, and He communicates that He has orchestrated this nation's downfall. God's message is meant to bring comfort to the Israelites, reminding them that He is their deliverer who will bring down their captors. Even though Assyria has a worldwide reputation for strength and power, it doesn't amount to anything up against God. But God's message is also meant to awaken the Israelites to the reality of God's justice for anyone who rejects God. Pastor and writer Eugene Peterson sums it up this way. The effect of Nahum is not to create religious hate against the enemy, but to say, don't admire or be intimidated by this enemy. They are going to be judged by the very same standards applied to us. The downfall of Assyria is a model of the justice God is going to one day execute on all evil. God loves His creation and is committed to driving out the darkness. And this is good news for the Israelites and for anyone today suffering because of the brokenness and sin in this world. It means they can wait in confident expectation that one day God will make everything right. But God's justice is also intimidating news. The reality is, all humanity, the Assyrians, the Israelites, people today, we are all deserving of this justice. Without Christ, we are enemies of God and our sin. Our fate should be the same as Nineveh's. But there is hope. Jesus, in His mercy, bore God's justice for us. He took the downfall we deserved, giving His life for ours. In Nahum, the downfall of Assyria is described extremely graphically. Listen to Nahum 3, verses 5 through 7. Behold, I am against you, declares the Lord of hosts, and I will lift up your skirts over your face and show to the nations your nakedness and to the kingdoms your disgrace. I will throw filth on you and make you vile and set you up as a spectacle. So if God's justice on Assyria is representative of the justice we all as sinners deserve, then this verse is also descriptive of the pain and humiliation Jesus endured when he took on our judgment. We see this affirmed in the gospel accounts of Jesus' death. After allowing himself to be arrested by Roman officials, Jesus was tortured. He was stripped, mocked, spit on, and made a spectacle. He was humiliated and hung naked on a cross. The wrath of God for the sin of all humanity was poured out on him. He experienced the horrific reality of separation from his Father, who he had been in a perfect relationship with for all eternity. Jesus experienced literal hell, so we would not have to face the justice of God. If we don't grasp this reality of God's justice, his grace will never be precious to us. Take a moment to think about how you respond when you've done something wrong. If your response is a shrug of the shoulders, indifference. God's justice, satisfied on the cross, proclaims that your sin required dying for. And though it was that costly, God did it anyway because he loves you. Or on the other hand, if your response is fear or shame, God's justice, satisfied on the cross, proclaims that there is now no condemnation for you. You are clean and you are free. Whichever bent your heart takes, the cross reframes our perspective and compels us to respond with worship. Our sin was so great that it deserved the justice of God. But God's love was so great that he absorbed that punishment. As Pastor Tim Keller says, we are more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever dared believe. Yet at the same time, we are more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ than we ever dared hope. Spend a few moments in prayer now, thanking God for eternally saving you from the justice you deserved. As you listen to the worship song, praise God for his boundless love for us that drove him to the cross.
You whisper in the madness, you call my name. At the sound of your voice, all chaos fades. Almighty voice of God, I'm listening.
Steadfast God.